Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This interview is sponsored by a new and standout destination in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by longtime healthcare professionals Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora blends advanced technology with personalized care to help you feel your best. Whether it's whole body cryotherapy to reduce inflammation, an infrared sauna to detox and relax, LED light therapy to recharge at the cellular level, or assisted stretching to improve mobility, Alora has something for everybody. Their mission to provide science-backed wellness in a calm, welcoming space. Whether you're recovering from a tough workout, managing stress, or just investing in your long-term health, Alora is your modern approach to feeling better mind, body, and soul. Stop by 821 C Highway 12 right across from Kroger or explore more at aloramodernwellness.com.
Pleased to welcome to the podcast for the first time the new head coach at Mississippi State, Brian O'Connor. And coach, first off, thanks for taking some time out of the day to talk to me. You know, when you hire a new coach in football, you know, if he's an offensive coach, you're like, okay, you're going to see this style of football from this team now. Basketball is kind of the same way. You never hear that with baseball. You never hear about a coach's style. What is the Brian O'Connor style of baseball? What is a hallmark of a Brian O'Connor coached baseball team?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think it's sometimes in basketball or football, you know, there's a lot of scheming and type things in those two sports. Like in basketball, they play, you know, they might play a real up and down game or more of a defense or the certain style of offense in football. You know, baseball is a little bit different. Certainly, I would call our style aggressive, especially from an offensive standpoint. You know, we're gonna run the bases aggressively. We're gonna try to take the extra base. We're gonna put pressure on the other team. We're gonna be, you know, we're not gonna take many pitches. We're gonna be aggressive in the batter's box. And then, you know, I think anybody to be successful at a high level in college baseball, you got to be able to pitch and defend, right? And so that shows up every day. So we'll be aggressive on the mound. So I'd say it, all in all, it's fundamental, right? The fundamentals of the game that show up consistently to give yourself a chance to win. And then it's, you know, just very, very aggressive.
One thing I like to ask new coaches when I interview them for the first time is, if I could take you back in time to your first day on the job at Virginia and you could tell yourself something that you know now that you didn't know then, what would it be?
I'll tell you, you know, that poise is incredibly important, especially in big moments in the game and during the season. When I took over Virginia, I was 32 years old, had never been a head coach, right? And was so eager and was so intense all the time. And, you know, I think early in my time there, when it got to NCAA tournament time, the players didn't handle it real well. And I think that was partly because of my leadership. And as the years went on, I started to learn that, you know, you prepare a team the right way every day, you do the right things, and then you have to show poise and confidence in the most important times.
I don't know if you know this about yourself. I'm sure you do. But if you Google Brian O'Connor, you are not the first thing that comes up. On average, how many Fast and Furious references do you get in a year?
it's more like, you know, when somebody looks at my license at an airport or something like that, that's when I hear it the most. I don't really hear it a lot of other times. I do have to tell you, you know, when I used to have Twitter, I don't have social media anymore. I got rid of it a while ago. But back when I did, when Paul Walker actually passed away, my Twitter followers jumped up about 500. And I just think people couldn't draw the line between a movie, the actual character in a movie, and that person's actually a real person. So really, it only happens sometimes when people look at my license and they're like, huh, you know, just because of all those Fast and Furious movies out there.
I think if we made some shirts that said, had your picture on it that says, I live my life one inning at a time, I think we could sell. We got some merch ideas here.
That's right. I like it.
So as a coach, recruiting is the lifeblood of the program. And you've probably sat in, you know, we'll lowball it and say tens of thousands of recruiting pitches where you were trying to get people to come to play for you at Notre Dame and then at Virginia and now here at Mississippi State. What was it like being on the other end of a recruiting pitch for a change?
Yeah, I mean, certainly exciting. You know, these first 30 days here, you know, we've had a lot of recruits come in town, not only transfer portal recruits, but also, you know, 2025 recruits, 2026 recruits. And it's just been awesome being here in Starkville. And, you know, the community that's rallies around this baseball program, obviously the facility and the fan base, it's been awesome to be on that side of it, talking about playing in the SEC and all the advantages of that in this environment here in Starkville. It's been pretty incredible. It's been really, really great responses out of a lot of recruits.
Have you had that catch your breath moment yet?
No, there really hasn't been time to. You know, it's just been, you know, foot on the accelerator every day. You know, I'm sure after we get this roster set, after we get through the draft and we understand what next year's team looks like, and you start to game plan for the fall, for the players to come back, I think then you'll be able to take kind of a breath and start to really think about now it's about developing the players and putting this team and this plan together. It's just been really 30 days of pretty much all recruiting. You know, people have asked me, hey, have you found a house? Or have you found a place to live? No, you know, I'm going to get to that in November or December. You know, I need to focus on the task at hand, and there'll be a point in time that I can take a deep breath and step back and understand where I'm at and the magnitude of it and the excitement of it. But that's not right now. It's foot to the accelerator and keep going.
Who's somebody in the game of baseball that you admire?
Oh, geez. You know, that's a great question. There, you know, there's just a lot of people. I think a lot of great coaches over the years that as a young coach growing up, that I absolutely admired, right, and respected. You know, my college coach, Jim Hendry, who's now the assistant general manager of the New York Yankees, made such a profound impact on my life. He's actually why I decided to get into coaching, because of the impact that he made on me as a college player. And really, that's, you know, back then I was a 22-year-old first-time assistant coach. I was the restricted earnings assistant coach, which was the second assistant coach. And it was the impact that Jim made on my life, and I still stay very, very connected with him. I was able to be on the USA Baseball Collegiate National Team coaching staff in 2018, where he was one of the coaches on the staff as well. So I would say Jim is the guy that, you know, really made the biggest impact on me and got me into coaching.
You talked about the transfer portal and all the recruiting you've been doing over the past month. Besides just getting the best players you possibly can, you know, what was the plan for roster construction in this portal window? What did you need to achieve to be successful next season?
Well, first and foremost, it was to retain the Mississippi State players that wanted and to return to Mississippi State. That was my number one priority, was figuring out last year's roster and, you know, which players wanted to move along to a new opportunity, and then which players, you know, needed to be back here at Mississippi State. So that was first and foremost. And then after the fallout from that, and you had to understand what your needs were, certainly there was a huge need behind the plate. We did not return any catching that had any innings, and shortstop, and certainly to shore up the pitching staff and to add a little bit of power and athleticism to the lineup. So we feel like where we're at in the transfer portal right now, we've accomplished most of that. We still have a couple of other pieces to add that we're working on, but we feel like we're getting really, really close to putting this team together. And then in 10 days, we'll be dealing with the Major League Draft and see how that hits us, and then adjusting and adapting from there.
When you, I don't know if you're aware of this or not. It's been a big story in my world with Ace Reese this past couple of weeks, people making sure that he was going to remain here at Mississippi State. I'm not sure if you heard that story or not. I'm sure you spoke to him, though, in the last week or so. What were those conversations like?
Yeah, good question. I had heard about that. I was actually, you know, knee deep in all that, Brian, and just a lot of dialogue with Ace over the last 30 days about, just about his decision and the right thing for him to do and him getting confident and comfortable with our coaching staff. I mean, Brian, anytime that there's change, it's difficult, right? And people have to make their own decisions for what they feel is right in their life. You know, Ace Reese is beloved here in Starkville, and he made the decision to return here for his draft eligible year because, first and foremost, he loves this fan base. He loves this community. And, you know, he just felt like, you know, ultimately staying in the same place was the right thing for him to do for his career.
When you think about recruiting, I'm going to assume almost every high school coach and travel ball coach in the state of Virginia knows who you are and has spoken to you in over the course of your career. How quickly can you build those kind of relationships with the coaches here in Mississippi?
Well, you know, it takes time. Obviously, we're focused right now on, you know, what it takes to build next year's roster, but that'll happen in time. It doesn't happen immediately. It happens when we get a chance to have dialogue with them and get out and see high school baseball games. But, you know, that's very, very important because that first and foremost can be the lifeblood of our program, you know, is the high school baseball in this state. Obviously, we'll have to venture out of the state, but, you know, developing those relationships with the high school coaches, a number of our incoming recruits in the 2025 class are Mississippi players, you know, so, you know, that will be, as we move along and get settled, that'll be a focus of ours for sure.
What is the time? You mentioned the MLB draft is coming up in 10 days, and that's when, you, like you said, you'll finally get some real idea of what your roster is going to look like going into fall practice. The time between the draft and the start of fall practice, what does that look like for you?
Well, it's you know, when the fallout from the draft happens, it's kind of picking up the pieces and deciding what else do you need to add post-draft to the roster. That'll be the priority. And then it will turn to getting prepared for the players to return and kind of setting up fall baseball, what that schedule looks like, what that calendar looks like. So, you know, it's right now it's recruiting. And then once you're done with that, it turns to recruiting the 2026 and 2027 recruits while you're getting prepared for the players to return to get ready for fall baseball and setting that up. So, you know, you never stop recruiting. That's nonstop year round, but it'll be focused on next year's team and the players and getting that set up for them to have a great experience for the fall and develop them to get ready for next spring.
One thing I've heard a number of times when I ask people about you and your staff is they're impressed with the organization that you have. You know, one quote I was told was they have backup plans for their backup plans on this staff. Is that something that, you know, you learned from another coach, or is that just something that was your nature before you even got into coaching?
Well, it's kind of how I'm wired, candidly, Brian. I'm an organizer. I try to have foresight in things. You know, I think anybody that's a leader, no matter what they do, you know, having a plan and having foresight, you know, and different options is incredibly important. And so otherwise you're reactionary. And when you're reactionary as a leader, or a team is always reactionary. If you're reactionary in a game, most times you get beat. To be successful in the game of baseball, a lot of times you got to be thinking a pitch or two ahead. And in the organization of this baseball program, we always have to be thinking a day, a week, a month, you know, ahead. On the field, you're always thinking a pitch or two ahead. You know, off the field, you've got to be thinking days, weeks, and months ahead.
One of the things I like about college baseball and college basketball is that there's so much less rigidity with scheduling. You think about football, you know who you're playing in 2037 sometimes, sitting here in 2025. Baseball, it's a year-to-year thing. When you're creating the schedule, how do you like to attack that? Are you a high RPI out-of-conference scheduler, or do you want to look at it and say, hey, the SEC is going to carry our RPI. We can, possibly schedule a little differently in the out-of-conference. How do you attack it?
Well, certainly the RPI is driven by the league, and being in the SEC, that's going to be a big driver of the RPI. But we have 4 weekends before we start SEC play. We'll certainly, put ourselves in a tournament one of those 4 weekends to challenge yourself in a big name tournament. And then the other 3 weekends, it looks like that, at least the schedule that I inherited, schedules are typically done a couple of years ahead of time. They're at home, they're here in Starkville, and then you're limited a little bit about what you can do midweek. Obviously, location and who we've played in the past is a big part of it. Obviously, we have the one game in the middle of the week with Ole Miss. We'll play Southern Miss, play the traditional teams that they have played here in Starkville. So, a lot of that midweek games are, you don't have a lot of flexibility with it. It's more what you do on the first 4 weekends.
Let's wrap it up with this question. Will anybody have higher expectations of Mississippi State baseball than you do?
Absolutely not. I think, anybody that leads something, in every case, their expectations are higher than anybody else. But listen, I understand, Brian, the expectations are very, very high here. I don't talk about expectations as the leader of the baseball program. I talk about standards, right? That's what the players will hear from me every day, because the standards, if they're taken care of and addressed every day, the expectations take care of themselves.
That's what we like to hear here in Starkville when it comes to this baseball program. But the expectation level, as you said, very, very high. And looking forward to seeing your career as it goes here at Mississippi State. Brian O'Connor, really appreciate your time today. Have a great fourth, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Great. Thanks, Brian.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.